I want you to think about this quality in Galatians chapter 5. Turn with me in your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. Rather simple concept this morning, very important. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. After talking about the works of the flesh, which are destructive and corrupt, talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And in that list, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. I want you to think for just a moment. When you think of kindness, who do you think of? I'm not asking you to call out names, but who do you think of when you think of people that are kind? It's not hard for names to start popping into our head, right? Here's a challenge. When people think about kindness, do they think about you or I? Are we kind? Kindness is a really important quality. It makes life so much better. It's a duty of a Christian. And it does good for other people. It also benefits the person being kind. But it's not about trying to get a benefit for ourselves. It's about benefiting other people through kindness. Let's look at a few verses here that just mention kindness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, this is Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving each other. If you look over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, in these list of virtues, yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith, supply virtue, in your virtue knowledge, in knowledge self-control, in your self-control patience, in your patience godliness, in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love, etc., etc. Kindness will often come back and benefit the person. Kindness is often repaid. That's not the point to do it. It's a side benefit. We need to be kind whether somebody else is or not. For example, in Romans chapter 12, what does it say to do for your enemy if he's hungry? Feed him because he's fed you so many times. No, it's to be kind. It says, don't be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good. But let's notice that there are some instances where people do repay kindness and they remember things that people have done. For example, look at 2 Samuel chapter 9. David here, Saul is long dead. Jonathan is dead. They'd both been killed in battle. And David wants to show kindness to Jonathan's house. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David, and the king said, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. And the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet. The king said to him, where is he? Ziba said to the king, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lodabar. Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lodabar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David, fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold, I am your servant. David said, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always. And he paid homage and said, what is your servant that you should show great regard for such a dead dog as I? The king called Ziba, Saul's servant. He said, all that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson, and you, your sons, your servants, shall till the land for him, bring in the produce, and your master's that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table. And so he just blesses him, just does these great things for him. Why? Why does he want to show kindness to somebody of Jonathan's house? What had Jonathan always been to David? Kind. Why had Jonathan been kind to David? Because Jonathan was kind to David because Jonathan was a good guy. And they were friends. And Jonathan realized his father was wrong. And Jonathan, had he been a lesser character, had an easy motivation to not want to be kind to David. Who's Jonathan? The son of the king. What happens when the king dies? Who gets all that power? Who gets that position? The king's son. Jonathan understands that's not for him. He's loyal and kind to David. Saul and David are both now dead. What does David want to do? He wants to show kindness to Jonathan. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 25. This is back earlier while Saul was still around and Saul was trying to kill David. And this is where David had the chance to kill Saul and he would not. And then David, afterwards, when David speaks to him from afar and Saul realizes he had a chance to kill me and he didn't, and he acknowledges, you're more righteous than I. I know you're going to get the kingdom. But Saul can tell, he's on a bad bent and continues that way. But while David is out and trying to keep his distance and be away from Saul, you've got instance with Abigail and her husband Nabal. And of course, as it says there in First Samuel chapter 25. Verse 1. Samuel died. All Israel assembled and mourned for him. They buried him at the house of Ramah. David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. There was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich, and he's shearing sheep. The name of the man was Nabal. The name of his wife, Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful. The man was harsh and badly behaved. David heard in the wilderness Nabal was shearing his sheep. David sent 10 young men. David said to the young men, go up to Carmel and go to Nabal, greet him in my name. Thus you shall greet him. Peace be to you. Peace be to your house. Peace be to the all that you have. I hear that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm. They missed nothing all the time that they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David. He's asking for some kindness. They've been treating his shepherds fine. He's asking for some kindness. When David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and they waited. Nabal answered David's servants, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men of whom I do not know where? So David's young men turned, came back and told him all this. David said to his men, every man strap on his sword. And every man of them strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword. And about 400 men went up after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. One of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, And we did not miss anything when we were in the fields, as long as we went with them. They were a wall to us both by night and by day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know this and consider what you should do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his house. And he is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him. Abigail made haste, took 200 loaves, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already prepared, 5 sheahs of parched grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, laid them on donkeys. She said to the young men, go in before, behold, I come after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And as she rode, the donkey came down under the cover of the mountain. Behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. David had said, surely in vain I have guarded all this fellow has all in the wilderness, so nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he has returned me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David, and more also if by morning I leave so much as one male of all who belong to him. When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey, fell down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, on me alone be the guilt. And then she is kind. And then David realizes that her kindness kept him from doing wrong. In verse 32, David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you by this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion. Blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation with my own hand. And he's thankful to her. He'd gotten angry. Nabal was rich and arrogant, and even his own servants, he's just known as a worthless fellow. David is put out with him. He's going to act badly. Abigail just acts kindly, respectfully and kindly. Calms David down. He says, the Lord sent her and said, to keep me from blood guilt. Nabal, for his part, when he finds out that what would have happened, he goes into a shock or heart attack or something and dies. Abigail and David end up getting married. Now, in these two instances, you see kindnesses coming back and benefiting other people, or a lack of kindness. But and that's certainly part of kindness. But that's not the only way kindness works. If we're only kind because somebody's been kind to us, that won't do it. Because as we said in Romans 12, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If your enemy's thirsty, give him to drink. In a world of kindness, it has a contagious way of spreading. Jim gave some illustrations from a community he helped manage, and it was you might remember I asked for some anecdotes on kindness the other day, and he sent kind of a good description of this. This particular housing thing that had seniors in it. It was just people liked living there because the people were just so kind to each other. And he said because of that, it kind of had a contagious effect. They just looked out for each other in all sorts of ways. If somebody was sick and unable, then some of the other old people would take their dogs for a walk or something. If somebody had gone to the store and had too much stuff, couldn't get it back when they realized that, they go, they get the stuff for them. There's a few of them that had cars, and they're driving around for the people that can't. And they were just going out of there. There was a few of them that weren't always in the right mind, and they would wander off, and they would follow. And this wasn't their responsibility. They would just do it. One of them was kind of hard to get along with, and they'd wandered off, and they didn't want to be followed. But people knew that, you know, this wasn't real safe, so they kind of did a tag team thing. And one would follow for a while, then another would follow, and they, you know, got in touch with the family, so they came. But it was just a community. And he talked about how the people enjoyed being part of the back, and it was an enriching thing for Jim. And he wanted to treat them with respect, and the kindness It was a self-generating thing. When people are kind, it just makes the world a better place. If we choose to only be kind when someone's kind to us, then we've turned kindness only into something for our own benefit. And that's not good enough. It's kind of like, what does a con man do to get your money? He tries to do some things to get you to trust him. Is he a trustworthy person? No. So his acts of trustworthiness are part of the con. It's to get you to trust them. We're not to go through life just doing. Why is Jonathan kind? Is he thinking, when David gets to be king, he'll let me have the throne? That's not what he's thinking. He's being what? Kind. Now, does that benefit Mephibosheth later? Yes, it does. But kindness is valuable in its own self. Talking to different people, Adonis made this point about kindness. I thought it was a good point. Kindness isn't just about some particular act that you do. Because you can do an act that looks kind without being kind. You remember in Matthew chapter 6, what do the Pharisees do? They blow a trumpet when they're about to give some money to the poor man. Why? That they may be seen of men. Now that may look like a kind act, but if your motive is what? That's a different thing. And God doesn't respect that. But she was making the point that really kindness has to do with just being, having good manners and being polite and treating people the way you want to be treated. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Do unto others the way you'd have them do to you. Do we appreciate it when other people are kind? And it doesn't have to be big things. It can be little things. On the way in, I was talking to the family, asking them for some things. And Bertina mentioned, TJ mentioned, she's working up at Kenny's, the grocery store in Biggerville. Just some of the customers, it just means a lot to them when they're serving people, when somebody's kind. Just little things. Like she said, this one gentleman, he's just very appreciative. He expresses his appreciation for good service or if they've got, you know, some special that the store is offering and stuff. And he'll say, I really appreciate that. You know, he's getting his seventh cup of coffee free or something. And she said, you can tell by the way he's dressed, he's a well-to-do man, but he just takes the time to express appreciation for good service, to express appreciation for his special or something, because she said, he's not acting like he's entitled. There's just a kindness there and respectfulness. Bertina mentioned a couple things. One was she mentioned Brother Arnold, who was an old man that used to give out candy to them when they were little, and it reminded me of Sister Felial. She was an old lady in the congregation when I was a little kid. She sat right there where Tammy sits. And I don't remember what kind of candy it was. It wasn't that it was that important. But Sister Felial was an older lady, and she would sit there, and after church, you know, the little kids, we would walk up there, and she would hand us, you know, a piece of candy. And it, like I said, I don't remember what kind of candy it was, but I still remember her name. See, I remember when my mom went over to her house, because my mom loved things done well. She liked to do things well, and when she didn't know how to do things well, she appreciated other people that did it well. If she could figure out how to do it, she wanted to do it. Well, she had trouble with biscuits. She just couldn't come out the way she wanted them to come out. She knew Sister Felial made great biscuits. So, you know, Mom went over there and Sister for a good part of a day and just worked with Sister Felial. And she spent time showing my mom how to make those biscuits. And those little things that make an impression on you. Bertina was given another illustration as we were coming in. She said there were these ladies that would come over and visit my grandmother. And then I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything more. I cocked my head. And I was waiting, and then Luke said, she's crying. Martina's grandmother got juvenile rheumatoid arthritis at a very young age. And when I met her, she was bent over, and she would walk with a stool. And so she would move that stool in front of her. She just spent her life bent like that. And I think Bertina remembers the day her grandmother was baptized, and, you know, they got her down in there. But she was, you know, not able to get out much, but there were some ladies that would come by and visit her. And that meant so much to her. And it meant a lot to Bertina that these people would come and visit her. That's kindness. And when you're doing something kind, you don't always realize how much that means to somebody else. Now, sometimes you can do something kind and people don't even care. You know, people don't, that's happened to us all, you know. You know, sorry, sir, I think you dropped it. Yeah, there's some people like that. But we need to be the kind of people that are kind, who do things. Sometimes it's something big. Paul said when they got shipwrecked that the people there on the island showed us no small kindness. You know, they helped them. They got a fire going, warmed them up and stuff. The Good Samaritan in the illustration of the priest and Levite and the Good Samaritan, what did he do? He stopped. And he's moved with compassion, and kindness can save lives. But probably this week you're not going to find a situation where you need to save somebody's life. But you're going to find all sorts of situations today and tomorrow and this week where you have the opportunity to be kind. And if you have the opportunity to be kind and it saves somebody's life, save their life. If you have the opportunity to be kind, and because you are kind, somebody repays kindness to you. Well, that's wonderful. It's good for good things to spread. But just in little ways, let's be polite. Let's be helpful. Let's be courteous. Let's do to others what we would want them to do to you. Last two comments. Being kind is not a substitute for doing what God said and obeying other things in life. You can't go around and say, well, yeah, I know I don't really obey God, but I'm so kind. He's going to preach it. It's not a substitute. But obeying other things is not a substitute for being kind. We need to be kind. We'll make the world a better place when we're kind. And we'll be happier, more at peace, more relaxed, more fulfilled when we're kind. I'm going to give one last illustration here, and you can be turning to Titus 2, our closing passage. I'd ask for some other examples of kindness, and I was told this would embarrass a person, so I'll only use their initials, Alyssa. Oh, sorry. But she will take the Westmoreland's car and take it to the station for them and get the gas in it and check the tires and different things like that. You know what that is? That's kindness. And the world needs more kindness. What keeps us from being kind sometimes? Selfishness will keep us from being kind. Cynicalness will keep us from being kind. Irritation because other people aren't kind to us will keep us from being kind. Our job is to be kind. And by way of invitation, I want you to look at this passage in Titus. Titus chapter 3. Verse 3. We also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hatred, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration, baptism, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways the Holy Spirit renews us is in those fruits of the Holy Spirit, including kindness. Look at the kindness that's been offered to us. What are you going to do with the kindness that Jesus offered in his blood? Do we want to remain foolish and disobedient? Or do we want to appreciate that kindness, benefit from that kindness, and be motivated in kindness? If you're subject to invitation, won't you come as you stand and sing?